Recording now. This is Subnormal Magazine speaking with Paul Bakija. Paul, I probably slaughtered your name with Reagan Youth.
No, you know what? You know what? Paul Bakija, that's the kid my father raised. I'm Paul Cripple.
Of Paul Cripple. Awesome.
Paul Cripple. It's been my punk name since junior high. It stuck. I try to be other punk names, but Paul Cripple stuck, just like Dave Insurgent stuck for my nearly departed singer. Just say Paul Cripple.
You heard it, folks. So, speaking with Paul from Reagan Youth, Paul, it's a real honor to speak with you. I was just telling you off the recording here. I was disappointed I missed your show, but where are you based at out of now? Are you in New York or L.A.?
I live in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Okay.
It's New York. You know, it's not Wall Street. It's not, you know, the Dakota where John Lennon lives, but I live on Avenue D down in Alphabet City.
Okay.
I'll put it in perspective for you like this. Alphabet C, right?
Yeah.
That's where the C Squad is. I'm like two blocks and one avenue away from there. They're like on 10th. They're like on Avenue C between 10th and 11th Street. I'm on Avenue D between 7th and 8th, so, and you know, they're left over crack, you know, you know, where heroin addicts like dope, you know,
yeah.
They're like, you know, dogs, they're cats, you know, the whole CD difference.
So still gritty, so Giuliani's like, trip didn't clean that up.
Purple.
Yeah. I remember when Giuliani was, you know, kicking out the street vendors and all that, and trying to make everything look like Disneyland. So, sounds like he didn't get rid of everything there. Here, Bruce Edwin here, Subnormal Magazine, speaking with Paul Cripple from Reagan Youth. Paul, it's we were just speaking a minute ago. It's a real honor to speak with you. You know, I've been a fan of yours for, I don't want to date myself, but for quite a number of years, you know, listening to your work. You were telling me you're living in New York now, kind of in an area that's like more real, you know, and not all the Disneyland Giuliani cleanup side.
No, it's in the West Village. It's in the East Village.
Cool. I've been there.
You know what? If you go south, you're going to run into the Jews and the Ollie Stoker place. Then after that, Chinatown. Next to that, Little Italy. So
yeah,
it's not just like, you know, poor white people and minorities. You have Italians, Chinese, Jews, gays, artists. They're all mingled in.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, it's Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, you know.
Yeah.
You know, living there. And Puerto Ricans and Jews are the two ethnic groups that typify New York City than any other ethnic groups, more so than Irish and Italians or
really
any other, you know, Mexicans and it's always going to be Puerto Ricans and Jews in New York City.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, since that kind of leaves an interesting segue I kind of want to touch on, you know, I'm working over here in Hollywood, and, you know, people, you know, obviously your name, I've read, was taken from the name Hitler Youth, playing on that phrase for Reagan Youth. Hitler obviously slaughtered, you know, countless Jews, and, you know, but with all the atrocities they've had against him, some people, you know, Jews still get a bad rap to this day. So what are your thoughts on that?
And my thoughts on that is that Reagan, by putting Oliver North in power, murdered a million Iraqis and Iranians and countless others walking around with missing arms and legs and God knows what. You know, prevent the Islamic Revolution from spreading from Iraq all the way down the Arabian Peninsula. I mean, you know what? There's a lot of Hitlers in this world. Genghis Khan was like a Hitler.
Yeah.
It's only different time, you know, but he did annihilate a people, and in certain parts of Asia, you bring up Genghis Khan, it's like bringing up Adolf Hitler in Williamsburg, Queens.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go over very well.
Right. Now,
Listen, let me just say this. Give props to Dave Insurgent for having the foresight to see that the Republican Party has changed. It is no longer Richard Nixon's Republican Party, one that was way more liberal than Obama has ever been. Let's face it, Nixon was way more liberal than Obama, and Nixon's Republican Party, after, you know, and I thought Nixon, you know, the top man in the United States, being humbled and removed from office was one of the greatest victories the American people ever had. Look, one man isn't stronger than anyone else in this country. But Reagan definitely has fascist tendencies, and as soon as he shows up, let's face it, there's a lot of places in America where, when you think of crack cocaine, Reagan's face appears before your eyes. Let's not bullshit ourselves on this. Am I allowed to curse on this radio program?
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. This is subnormal. That's cool. So, basically, you know, I won't say our acquaintance, but the world, you know, known Nancy Reagan just died a couple days ago.
And you know why she died, right? Because when we went out to California, I used this new singer, AJ, and Rick is a machine gun drumming. Tibby's been playing with me for a couple of years now, and we killed it. We didn't even do any rehearsals, sound checks. We just killed it. And when your band is killing it like that, and you're called Reagan Youth, then you should expect Nancy Reagan to get killed. And she did. She's dead. Fucker. From Flushing, Queens. I'm from Rego Park. Fucker.
So, Michael Jackson had reportedly had the, what was it, the skeleton of the Elephant Man, true or not, I don't know. You know, some media say, if someone offered you the skeleton of Nancy and Ronald, would you take it?
Sounds funny. It's skeleton, huh? But let's get back to some reality now. That woman's what, a 95-year-old vampire they couldn't keep alive anymore?
Yeah. Now we have. I want to get into politics in a minute, but back to the music. You've taken over the helm and basically brought back the band in a very strong way. How has been the response? I mean, you've been playing, you know, CBGBs back in the heyday and punk scene when it was, you know, in its height of the so-called hardcore New York punk scene. How has it changed, if so? I mean, are kids more apathetic with all the, you know, internet and smartphone crap or what?
Well, when we started playing, we were teenagers in high school. We had already been frequently punk clubs because the drinking age was 18, and even though we were 15, my sister was the hottest girl in the neighborhood, so her and her friends would go out. My sister bought me a leather jacket, just come on, and me and Dave and Russell and, you know, would go out, and they wouldn't kick us out because if they kicked me and Dave out, then they'd have to kick out the hot girl, and they weren't going to do that. So eventually we just got to hanging out, and next thing you know, we started a band, a silly one back in junior high, you know?
Yeah.
And then in high school, we decided to take it a little more seriously. Reagan was running up against Carter, and Dave thought it'd be funny if he made this like kind of pro, chauvinistic, anal retentive Reagan youth. And I remember the high school teacher having a talk with him, or some girl in class would say, "That song's about me," and it wasn't political at all. It was crude. It was punk rock.
Yeah.
Dave was the A student, and he smartened it up, and he really, got things going. And I was taking guitar lessons and taking it seriously, and Dave told me, "Why are you wasting your time learning from losers? Just learn off the records." And back then, I had a stereo system that didn't just play 33 and 45, but 78 and 18, and 18 is exactly half of 16, I mean.
Yeah.
That's exactly half of 33, so I got to hear Tony Iommi solos all slow. Instead of, it was like, and I got to learn it. And Dave always stressed that we're musicians and we should, get as good as we can. We covered War Pigs, we covered Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, or Foxy Lady, or any number of Hendrix tunes, definitely Purple Haze.
Right.
Now I'll tell the band, learn I Don't Live Today. Next year is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love. I want to play a Rainbow Fest in San Francisco, play a couple of House of God songs. That was the band Dave and I were going to do after Reagan Youth. It was more like grunge and,
yes,
cover a dead tune and I Don't Live Today, and throw in our most classic rock sounding, like, we could do the heavy metal shuffle. IAA has a great middle. I would love to do that. I don't want to play in front of just one audience.
Yeah, interesting. That's cool. So really, you're not limited to just a stereotypical so-called, punk scene. That's cool.
Stereotypical punk sound, most importantly.
Right.
I love Bad Religion.
I do too.
I don't think this should be like 10,000 bands trying to sound like that.
Right.
I love Social Distortion. How
likewise.
Many Social Distortion ripoffs can you have?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not ripping off, it's copies.
Yeah.
Steal the guy's girlfriend. Don't copy his look or his sound.
Yep. You mentioned House of God. Are you doing anything with that project now?
Say that slowly a little. What?
Yeah, you mentioned House of God. Are you recording anything or going to be touring with that project anytime soon?
House of God was this band me and Dave were going to do after Reagan Youth, and just as it got started, it was over.
Yeah.
We had already been doing it at the tail end of Reagan Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Song in the beginning, if you go and see us playing with Dave has his dreads, we're wearing tie dyes, and we're doing the song in the beginning in the middle of a Reagan Youth set.
Yeah.
That was going to be our new thing, and instead of being youths taking on, the Republican Party or the American way of politics, we were going to be men taking on, organized religion.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, the name is, obviously intense. I mean, it's a unique name. I noticed on the website, and readers, listeners, go to ReaganYouth.com, Rust and Dust documentary. Is that, are you doing...
Someone came with us. Someone came with us, a merch person. She videotaped us.
Okay.
I edited it, and I put it, there was a part where Tippy turned her on to music, and Beatrice, we should leave this part, and we're driving and looking out the window, and it's a really pretty song Tippy turned me on to. You leave stuff like that, but you edit out a lot of stuff, and it comes down to like 2 hours. And I just, you know what, just wanted people to see what it's like, because I'm in both bands, Dust Angel and Reagan Youth. And Dust Angel doesn't exist anymore, but those songs, Necrophilia, that's a good way to practice the third album song, because God knows that singer was smoking way too much crystal meth to even give a shit about thinking about doing the third album.
Yeah.
And I would love it. I would love it if I could get a few New York hardcore singers to contribute, you know, in honor of a guy that, honestly, when you look at it, was singing New York hardcore, not before anyone else, but at that very inception.
Right, right. I just spoke yesterday with Thalia Zedek. You know, Thalia from Live Skull and Come.
Right.
Spoke with her yesterday. Amazing singer, obviously, and that'd be an interesting project with her.
Good luck with it.
Oh no! I'm saying for you, that'd be cool. You know, you're talking.
If I did a project with Sal.
With Thalia, yeah. You said you were thinking of...
What's his name? What's the guy's name?
New York singers, you mentioned, and I was seeing Thalia Zedek. She's a front woman for the old bands that toured a lot with, played a couple times with Sonic Youth, called Live Skull.
Live Skull.
Yeah. So anyway,
let me grab a pen and write this down, because
I can send it to you later. I'll get your email if you want, or if you do that or whatever.
Send an email later.
Cool.
But thanks for calling. And where are you based out of again?
I'm in Los Angeles. I've got a couple more. If you have a little more time, Paul, I've got a couple more, a few more questions here. Okay, cool.
I'm not as talking of Michelle Biafra or that guy from the Subhumans, who either talks a lot or doesn't
Dick.
Talk at all.
Yeah, I had the pleasure to meet Dick. I love the Subhumans.
Huh?
I had the pleasure to meet Dick. I love the Subhumans as well.
Dick, that's right. That's his name, Dick. I'm not as talkative as Dick.
Totally cool. Now, speaking of, you know, I've read that obviously you're rooted in the anarchist scene, you know, for what, I mean, I hate to label stuff, but tell me, please, about that, your involvement in the, you know, if in the anarchist scene, whether in the punk scene as an anarchist or whatever, is that still your ideology or you know, sentiments?
Not involved in any anarchist scene. I don't really know of one in New York City. I remember talking about this with Dave and Serge, and there was a gentleman, Danny Rampin, that was in the Crypt Crashers, and they were all about waking up the dead, like kick open the crypts, like, you know, like wake up you humans and stuff like
right.
that. And it was great to be around amongst, you know, this little clique of friends and discussing anarchy. The greatest president the United States ever had, in my view, was Theodore Roosevelt. The Republicans can stand his ass, so they gave him the least important job in the world, the vice presidency.
Mm.
Only one vote. He got all but one vote, and the one person that didn't vote for him was Teddy Roosevelt. But then an anarchist killed the president. So don't say anarchy doesn't play much of a role, or never has really played much of a role in American politics. They're not going to talk about it in high school history or junior high school history, but it was an anarchist that killed McKinley and opened the doors for Theodore Roosevelt, New York City's first police commissioner, made sure everyone had the same weapon, a uniform, and a badge, instead of just roaming the streets like
Okay, folks, lost call there. We're going to give him a try right back here. And just give us a minute. Hopefully I'm back on the line. We'll see. No problem. No problem. Paul, I wanted to ask you, I need to ask you about, well, I guess, were you finished with your what you were saying there?
About McKinley being shot by an anarchist, opening the door for Theodore Roosevelt to preserve so much of American wildlife. And, you know, he was definitely the people's president, even if he was too much of a tough guy. But he learned his lesson when his youngest son, and he had a lot of kids, was killed immediately in World War One. War wasn't a noble thing anymore.
Interesting.
It was this mass-produced killing machine.
Yeah.
You know? And Teddy Roosevelt was from New York City. He was the first New York City police commissioner. He's a pretty interesting individual.
Huh.
Went to the, you know, Badlands of the Dakotas and knew how to box. So even though he had glasses and all the cowboys thought they could whip his ass.
That's funny.
You know, he could hold his own. He had that New York hardcore mentality.
Right.
But anyway, now the vice president, like Cheney, how the fuck is he still alive? He had like 5 heart operations, and there's a heart, and then there's all this space inside of his body, and then the body continues. He's like this weird vampire. And he's the vice president, and he's shooting his friends in the face. I mean, and what's going to happen? Who's going to run? Hillary against Donald? Two best friends. You know they must have fucked. Be serious. Clinton's getting blowjobs from these girls. He probably goes to the mall and fucking, in that beautiful little upstate town he lives. And fucking Hillary's like off getting fucked from behind by Trump. Say, like, ooh, baby, give me that zoning permit.
Whoa.
Come on. Be serious.
They're a tight-knit fraternity. Some people think Hillary's
like
a lesbian.
The party is shameful. Shameful.
Yeah.
David Duke giving out endorsements, KKK rallying in Anaheim. And that was around the time I played. You know, and as long as Democrats and Republicans have this charade fooling the American people that they really hate each other, they love each other except for one day that people go out and vote. After that, it's like they're buddy-buddy, they're playing golf, they're fucking over 99% of us. Me included, I'm sure you too.
I believe you. Now, this leads me to my next thought here. I interviewed, I've spoken with Valor from Christian Death a number of times, and Valor started to tell in front of the crowd for his gig one night that he said the world is controlled by like 3 men, and he said, and I know who they are. So that's kind of my next thought. Some people believe, you know, that there is a group of international bankers, you know, groups like Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission.
Habsburgs. Don't sleep on the Habsburgs. What do you think? They just lost their money one day?
Right.
Sleeping overnight. The Catholic Church. Madonna Mia, the Catholic Church. How many old Irish people never had kids, lived without saying a word till they're like 80 and just save their money and then as soon as they're dead, every single penny goes to the Catholic Church. Exempt from taxation.
Yeah.
What a scam. Just to fucking make the masses feel ashamed. They should want things.
Mm-hmm.
And rich people flaunt.
Right. Yeah. So do you share those beliefs as well? Do you believe that there is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Maybe not like to the precision or, you know, to the very, like, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing the T's, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not like, you know what, we should bomb those Iraqis and steal their oil. Yeah, we should. No, I'm not one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with the whole creation of, you know, the, I don't say the word ISIS because that's, you know, Egyptian.
Between Iraq and Syria, I love it. I used to love that cartoon when I was a little kid. Almighty ISIS, ISIS, ISIS.
Yeah, I mean,
that dressed up.
I like.
And listen, bad guys always dress the coolest. They're all in black. They have those. I mean, they look cool. Like a Confederate soldier, or Lemmy, or a fucking well-tailored by helmet. Oh God, the German designer. Cuban Watts, you know.
Versace.
That guy's not a dress. I'm not an ISIS fan. Don't get me wrong, but I love their tailor.
Yeah. What I was saying, yeah, I mean, just a name, because of the Egyptian deity, I don't even, you know, I say ISIL or Daesh, I guess I hate the name Daesh or whatever.
What does ISIL stand for? What does that stand for?
Islamic State of International
Libya?
The Levant or something like that. But, yeah, regardless, I guess my point is with all that, you know, some people think that that's... kind of a created by the some of the Western states and stuff. What's your thoughts on that? And that whole.
I think this is what I think. I think it's not some we created it with our Predator drone strikes. When you're following a guy that you have to kill, and this guy wakes up, gets on his motorbike, and. Sees kids playing ball, soccer, stops, kicks it around, hey, all right, bye, you know, and then he goes to a cafe, you know, mingles with the people, does all these normal things, and then boom, when he's alone, he explodes. Now, when you look at all those people he had just seen, a few of them are going to start thinking about it, and a few will probably say, fuck this shit. They're blowing up my friends. And that oil belongs... Listen, Arabs are nomads. No one ever said, wait a second, oil's under this part of the desert? Well, then I'm a rich man, because me and my father and his father before him and before him have always been on this land, but they're nomads. That oil belongs to every single Arab on the Arabian Peninsula. Saudi Arabia doesn't, it's like calling America Bush's America. It used to just be America, just like it was Arabia. It's not 1,001 Saudi Arabian nights. Kuwait, Baghdad, they're all just made by the British after World War One, when they saw there was over half the oil in the world was in that Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans were invited after dropping a bomb, or at your world power, you get to cut in on this oil deal. The Chinese are now invading Africa that has some oil. You know,
yeah.
Well, the permanent members of the Security Council, UN, want to rape the rest of the world. And it's, you know, a new world order, it's disgusting. But when you go to that part of the world, here in America, I could be, Yugoslavian punk rocker who likes heavy metal and can, you know, be, you know, I could be more than just an American. When you're in a war, it's us and them. So they're either Iraqis or Iranians, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they're Arabs, but they can't be an Arab punk rocker there. And unfortunately, that Saudi royal king was king after the British came in, and that's not even a century has gone by. When you know, and he treats his people like shit. He just hoards all the money. On the other side of the planet, there's a real sultan, the Sultan of Brunei, and when they found all this oil underneath Brunei, you know what he did? He gave every citizen of Brunei $80,000 every year.
Huh.
Because that's a real king. That's a real sultan. years. Now they hit the lotto ticket, and then only five ruling families that have no royal blue bloods. There's nothing royal about them. Are keeping all the money thanks to the Cheneys and the Bush and the American power system, Obama included. Be serious. It's shameful. We this is a Christian nation. We are the most un-Christ-like nation on the planet.
Yeah. I hear you.
It's my country, and I'm proud of it, and I don't want it to be that way. I want Ralph Nader, a consumer advocate, to run this capitalist society, make sure no one gets ripped off. How do you think that would make corporate America feel if the president was a consumer advocate that took down the automobile industry, made sure we all have seatbelts and windshield wipers that work?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely different. What are your thoughts on Bernie Sanders?
I don't have much thoughts on a guy whose state, where he's from. Like, I'm watching documentaries on junkies and out of five people in his family, four of them are strung out. It's like, Bernie, did you make a deal with El Chapo and just flood your state with, like, fucking primo heroin? I mean, what's the dealio there? And how did you solve that? Oh, wait, you did. And Governor Christie on the Republican side, I had a drummer, and this is an arbitrary route the bus took me from, you know, Port Authority to, you know, Plainfield, South Plainfield. And let me tell you something. I never saw so many boarded up houses and desolation and this guy's bragging about how much he did for the state. He just doubled the tolls on his freeways. Wow. And I don't know about the state you live in, but do you pay tolls when you're in Los Angeles?
No, we don't.
No, but this freaking New Jersey doubled it. Now, people with a lot of money, that doesn't mean shit. But for the average working man, and he's bragging about it, God, he's like Giuliani. He's going to disappear. And this is funny. They found out that the mayor from Fort Lee, that's right by the George Washington Bridge, didn't endorse him. So Christie told the state troopers to cause traffic there. Huh. And a lot of people got fired. You're going to hire someone that's that vindictive that he'll make ordinary people sit in traffic because some mayor of that part of town can endorse you?
Wow.
What a fucking disgusting fuck. Thank God he disappeared.
I hear you. Well, I
so
won't...
Who's going to be president? Let me ask you something, Bruce. Who's going to be president?
Well, I think it's going to be, it looks like Trump is basically throwing the election to Hillary, is my view.
And he likes Hillary, so Hillary's going to be very kind to him.
Yeah, that's how I see it. It's coming down to Trump and Hillary, and he's going to, throw it to her. I think it's all a charade. It's, Trump is, granted, he'd probably like to be in there, but...
Trump is having too much of a blast, don't you think? All these other politicians look like they're constipated and worried. They're not going to fucking be able to go. And Trump is laughing and having a blast.
Yeah.
Well, I think if after this election, he comes out and shames people that like that he said things about deporting Muslims and all those things, I would so look up to the man. And he built the LeftRock projects, low-income projects. It was right across the Grand Central from where I lived.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great place to buy some really fat weed and smoke it up. I'm not going to lie. So, I mean, I don't hate Trump, but... I hate the shit he's saying, but if he's got a plan and him and Hillary talked about it, well, then poor Bernie Sanders, maybe he could fix the rehab facilities in Vermont and families and kids could play baseball again, and not just shoot hoops. Don't shoot fucking heroin into their veins.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
I mean, you heard about that, right? You heard Vermont is a 12th state when it comes to heroin, right?
I have. I didn't know the statistics on it, but yeah, I knew there was problem spreading just nationwide for heroin, big time.
No. Heroin has infiltrated Vermont, and they're making documentaries about it.
Okay.
You know, it's really that bad.
Wow. That's messed up. I've known a lot of musicians over the years, and it's a nasty drug, you know. Fortunately, nothing I ever touched, but, so...
Wasted my life in the 90s. Dave lost his life because of that drug.
Right. That's sad.
My bass player was on the internet way before me. He wanted to do a Reagan Youth reunion type thing. It was going to be called Paul and Andy of Reagan Youth.
Jack
Rabbit was going to... 20th anniversary of the big takeover or something.
Yeah.
Died. And I remember getting him heroin, but I think he did some really strong coke in Jersey, just had a heart attack and died. And the shit I bought since I haven't bought anything in years was garbage.
Yeah.
And it sucks. You know, that street shit. That street garbage.
It's terrible.
I understand every once in a while you want to do it, but don't force it. If it comes to you, and you want to dip and dabble, by all means, but don't go out looking for it, because then the drug is telling you, like, go out and get me, now, you know, and before you know it, you're addicted.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even dabble. I don't think it's a smart thing. I wanted to ask you about, you know, I've read a lot of writers like, say, Emma Goldman, you know, Kropotkin, Bakunin, Tolstoy. Is there any particular writer, you know, anarchist type writer that's influenced you or your philosophy more than another?
I'll be honest with you, I majored in history and English literature.
Wow,
and,
cool.
A book that's very, like, influential to me is The Soon Sisters by Sterling C. Gray.
Pardon me, you cut out a little.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, yeah, could you repeat that? Yeah, you cut out.
Yeah, the name of the book is The Soon Dynasty, S-O-O-N-G, and it's by Sterling C. Gray. And it's not an Atticus book, but it's a book on 20th century China. And it shows you who the real revolutionary is. And it's got three sisters. One is...
Shit. Folks, give me one more try here. And talking with Paul from Reagan Youth. Yeah.
Is The Soon Dynasty, Soon with two O's, S-O-O-N-G.
Okay.
It's by Sterling C. Gray. It's not so much an anarchist how-to book, but it's the history of 20th century China. Us as Westerners should take a good peek into the world of the Eastern world, where the West is trying to impose their, you know, their systems and how drugs, I mean, at one point, China, 3 out of 4 people were addicted to opiates. You know, it was that bad.
Wow. Tell me, please, Paul, the name one more time. Sterling, what's the last name?
All right, the name is Sterling C. Grave, S-E-A-G-R-A-V-E.
Okay, thank you.
And
got
the book is The Soon Dynasty.
Okay, cool. Now I've got it.
That's just one that, you know, I kind of liked. I liked, I read a lot of things in college. Solzhenitsyn, I can't even say those names.
Alexander Berkman.
Nietzsche. What do you call, I'm too stoned to remember these things.
No, it's all good. Well, Paul, I mean, I could speak with you for ages. You know, there's a lot more I wanted to talk with you on, but, you know, I know you're...
You gotta play music, my man. You gotta play some music, right?
Well, yeah. I'm gonna lead out here with one of your songs. So, I hope you're gonna be back here in L.A. soon. How is it?
Try to make it out there like once a year, and I'll try to play like not just gigs, but like events, so people can get, like, you know,
good,
really into that nice, that communal feeling. And I had a great tour, the best tour last time since the 80s, seeing how these kids really got into it. It was wonderful. And anytime a kid's tell me, I just started listening to your band last week, or some 30-year-old telling me it's the soundtrack to, you know, to when he was growing up.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all wonderful. Thanks for
Definitely.
Having me, Bruce.
Oh, certainly. I'm going to stop the recording and pick up the line here, so give me 1 minute. It's been Subnormal speaking with Paul from Reagan Youth. Paul, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you, and I'm going to...